From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nicole Ugrisco with the news on This Day in Maine, Thursday, October 31st, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
Attorney General Aaron Frey has announced agreements with two pharmaceutical companies accused of artificially inflating and manipulating generic drug prices. The companies will pay $49 million and cooperate in a multi-state litigation targeting companies and corporate executives. Frey says Heritage Pharmaceuticals will pay $10 million under an agreement being filed in a federal court today. The second company isn't being named yet, but is to pay $39.1 million in addition to cooperating with multi-state lawsuits. Maine is seeing an uptick in pertussis cases, commonly known as whooping cough. The state CDC says there have been 101 cases so far this year, compared to 76 cases for all of 2023. The increase follows a national trend. The U.S. CDC is reporting a fivefold increase in cases compared to last year. In Maine, people infected have ranged from infants to teens to older adults. Public health officials say the best way to prevent pertussis is to get vaccinated. A revamped subsidy program is prompting more Mainers to install electric heat pumps that heat and cool their entire home. Peter McGuire has more.
Efficiency Maine Trust says that since July, it has issued more rebates for whole home heat pumps than it did in the first 9 months of the program. The state met its goal of installing 100,000 heat pumps in 2023, 2 years earlier than expected. But most of those systems are being used to supplement oil or gas heating and have not reached their full potential, says Efficiency Maine Director Michael Stoddard.
So for both a financial perspective and an environmental perspective, the whole home heat pump solution is far more effective.
The agency stopped offering incentives for most single-unit heat pumps last year and is instead offering larger incentives for heat pumps meant to condition entire homes. And Stoddard says despite concerns over cost and reliability, the program change hasn't slowed Maine's rapid heat pump adoption. Based on their income, homeowners can get back up to $8,000 of installation costs through the program. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Peter McGuire.
Maine's Department of Transportation is getting nearly $200 million in federal funds for infrastructure upgrades across the state. Ari Snyder has more.
The DOT says it will use the bulk of the federal award, $70 million, to replace a handful of, quote, deteriorating bridges in Waterville and Sydney. Another $60 million will go toward bridge upgrades and replacements on the I-395 corridor in Bangor and Brewer. Beyond roadways, the DOT says it will also use the money to improve more than 140 miles of railroad track, allowing for higher operating speeds and better safety conditions. Another sliver of funding from the Environmental Protection Agency will go toward electrification projects at four main ports. The funding comes from the bipartisan infrastructure law, signed by President Biden in 2021 and supported by Maine's congressional delegation. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Ari Snyder.
The city of Bangor is looking to expand housing for what's called the missing middle income bracket, those who make 80 to 120% of the area's median income. The city is partnering with Portland-based Developers Cooperative for 75 housing units on the city-owned parcel of land on Grandview Avenue. Bangor's Community and Economic Development Director Ann Krieg says the project is targeted to those who make too much money to qualify for housing subsidies, but not enough to comfortably afford market rate housing.
We just thought, geez, this is a really almost the perfect storm of good planning, you know, to have a parcel that we own that would actually make a great development.
The city has already involved the surrounding community in the design process, Creek says, and hopes to begin construction next year. Ace Flagg, the twin brother of top NBA prospect Cooper Flagg, has announced his verbal commitment to play basketball for the University of Maine. Matt McKenzie, who says he has worked with both brothers as a private player development coach, believes Ace will have a real impact at Maine.
I know that there's a lot of people in Maine that really want to rally behind, you know, the growing success of the University of Maine men's basketball team. And I think adding somebody like Ace is really going to, you know, help them get to where they want to be sooner than later.
Cooper Flagg is a star at Duke and is anticipated by many to be the number one pick in the 2025 NBA draft. In the wake of the pandemic, school districts in Maine are still trying to get students back in the classroom 5 days a week. Chronic absenteeism, defined as missing 18 or more days in a school year, has declined since some districts reported rates of well over 50%. But it's still a problem. Oxford Hills Comprehensive High School in Western Maine has instituted a model program that appears to be getting kids back into class. Carol Bousquet reports.
It's 10:30 on a Friday morning at Oxford Hills Comprehensive High School in South Paris. Chronic absenteeism here shot up to more than 50% after the pandemic. It's now down to just over 30%. And for students like Julie Button, there have been more tangible changes.
People have stopped bullying me as much.
Button, now a junior in the automotive technology program, says it was hard to get out of bed in the morning when she was a freshman, so she missed a lot of school. But things are better now.
I had a friend tell me that when I was in seventh grade, people would talk a lot about me and what I wore, but they stopped because they noticed how confident I was. I had someone tell me they felt inspired by me.
Freshmen have become the focus of a model program at Oxford Hills called Building Assets Reducing Risks, or BAR. It's designed to help teachers connect with students in ways they might not have been able to in class, make regular communications with students' families, and even go to their homes.
We do home visits. It can sometimes be the most impactful intervention that we can provide to have to show up at someone's house and say, we're not just saying we're here, we care, we're here because we care.
Alicia Sadler, Dean of Students, says among the barriers that keep ninth graders out of school are anxiety and depression, instability at home, food insecurity, and transportation.
We have families that I communicate with on a daily basis, and I have families that I have a challenge with communicating with, and that might warrant a home visit to say, hey, we're worried about your kiddo. How can we help? What level of support can we provide, not just to the student, but to the family?
School officials say before BAR was implemented, 70% of freshmen earned 6 credits their first year of high school, and data suggested those students were more likely to graduate on time. Since BAR started, students earning 6 credits their freshman year has climbed to 90%. Evidence, administrators say, they are coming to school. But other schools are not faring so well. The state reports that 27% of Maine students were chronically absent last year.
There's no clear geographic area or group necessarily to focus on.
It's a nationwide issue, according to Dr. Tom Swiderski, Research Associate for Education Policy at University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill.
You also see it occurring across all sort of localities or types of schools within a state. You know, it doesn't seem like any type of district or an urban or rural, it's happening in all of them.
And Swiderski says each year that a student is chronically absent makes it that much harder for them to recover.
By adding up those absences over time and showing that there is this percentage of students who are now experiencing 100 absences or more over the course of 3 years, which is something that was just never happening pre-pandemic, each year that this problem keeps going makes it that much harder to recover because students are experiencing this cumulatively.
I'm going to go see my sister. But I'll come back to you, I promise.
For junior Julie Button, school is less a place to be avoided on bad days and more of a bridge to her next life chapter.
When I get out of school, I would like to work in a garage. You know, I heard you can make big bucks in that.
The BAR model isn't new. It's been in Maine schools on a limited scale for 15 years. Now, nearly 100 schools in Maine are using the BAR model with success. and the state has won approval for an extension of federal funding to keep bar support mechanisms in those schools for another year. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Carol Bousquet.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, the science of sleep health as we approach the end of daylight saving time. I'm Nicole Ogrisco. Thanks for listening and happy Halloween.